What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Glitched Podcast. My name is Topher Welsh, and virtually to above me or below me is...
Eugene Kappen, better known as Kappen Design.
And we are here with the CEO of AdMix, Sam Huber. How's it going, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. It's going great.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on.
We appreciate it. So no I first learned about who you were from your massive lists in all of the all the VR groups on Facebook, like 85 places to find grants for your VR project, or 1,002 different places to find free music for your VR project. And you compile these massive lists, and I was like, this dude provides so much value. We need to talk to him because he seems to know a lot.
Great. Well, here I am. That's the plan. That's really kind of the outreach strategy that we have. You know, we are an advertising company in VR and AR, and most people don't care about advertising. If we were just talking about how cool our ads are, that wouldn't really excite people. So instead, we're really trying to empower VR AR developers to create more content, right? This is really what our core mission is. It's actually written here in front of me in the office. It's about giving them the right tools to do so. And so we, of course, know that a lot of founders are super technical. They know how to build great games, but something that was kind of missing is how they go from this project to actually a business. So it's all about marketing and sales, and where do you get the best resources, who do you listen to. And so this is kind of what we've been trying to do for the past few months, is compiling data that is already there available, our own data, and just sharing it, and helping developers move forward.
Right on. Yeah, because I mean, a lot of developers and a lot of people who create these experiences and all this VR stuff, like, a lot of them are artists. They're not super businessmen, exactly. Or like they're trying to focus on the product, and they're not trying to like worry about all the other stuff that, you know, like you provide. So that's like a great.
They don't have time. You know, it's like most of them are a very small team, and building a game or an experience is just so much work that they just obviously focus on that. And so we're just trying to relieve some of the pressure, and all this collating so much information takes a lot of time. So we're trying to make it a little bit easier for them.
Right on. So is AdMix an advertising agency, or is it the advertising platform for VR, or is it both?
No, it's we're not an agency. We are a tech company. Okay. What we're doing is building an SDK, a product for developers, for content creators who build VR game, AR games, normal games, apps, to monetize it in a different way. So basically the idea is, like, instead of having pop-ups and boring banners and pre-roll videos that really interrupt your experience and create a terrible experience for the users. Instead, what we're trying to do is merge advertising within the content. So it's about placing a banner on a wall or a video on a screen or a 3D product within the experience so that the whole thing looks a lot more native and a lot more exciting for the users.
Yeah, so like rather than using like audience network through Facebook for your app or whatever, you're using this like dynamic replaceable content for almost like digital product placement.
That's right. This is it. This is really our vision for the future of advertising. We think that what people hate is not advertising per se. It's irrelevant or intrusive ads, right? It's like you're trying to do something and you have an ad that comes up and that is interrupting your flow, your experience. That's just terrible. So instead is, how can we make the most out of this super immersive environment and place brands that will not interrupt? It's like, it's like this bottle is standing there. You can interact with it. You can look at it if you want. If you don't want, you just don't look at it. It's just like the real world. We're just trying to make immersive world more real, basically.
So are you guys creating like models for people to use of specific brands inside of their games? Or is it just like posters and billboards? Or what are some of the ways that you guys are getting around the issue of intrusive ads in your SDK?
So we have three types of formats. We have banners that you can literally place on a billboard in a street, for example, or across a stadium. If you have a football stadium or whatever, it makes perfect sense to have static ads at this in this place. We have videos, which can be playing on a wall or a jumbotron or wherever. And then what we're bringing on now is the 3D model, like literally 3D model of products that can be placed everywhere. what's exciting about that is that they're not just passive anymore. You know, you can literally in VR grab the model, open it. If you open it, there can be some kind of animation. So you can really interact with products in a new way. And in the future, even buy the product. So you're talking about one single ad unit that can go all the way from just awareness, which is looking at it, to purchase potentially. Within, again, without taking you out of the VR world, without redirecting you to a website, everything happens in the same place. So that's kind of the idea that that we're having.
Eugene, this sounds very similar to what we were trying to do with our Glitch Theater.
It is.
me and Eugene, so I don't know if you ever saw the Glitched VR show, but in our lobby for our theater, we had all this like advertising and banners and posters and videos and things like that we could do. And we had like robots that you could like brand your robots and stuff if we had sponsors. And we were trying to do that kind of like on our own.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, like, right? A lot of apps.
Ad mix to like just facilitate. Exactly. Do you guys facilitate like linking buyers and people too?
That's right. So I was about to say, so we don't actually build the 3D model. We're not really into the creative element of it. What we are doing is really building the infrastructure. So it's, you know, we've seen so many apps like yours, right? You have a lobby and it just makes sense to try to monetize it. But, you know, as creators, right, you're not going to try to create deals with different brands and call up McDonald's. It just doesn't work if you have only one app. So instead, we create inventory for all the apps that we're working with. And so we can sell it as a pack. We can tell McDonald's, you know, we have 100 apps where you can actually kind of segment the audience. We have maybe 20 that are about sports, 20 that are about social. And then you can really target, just like you on the web, decide what website you want to advertise on. Programmatically, you can target your audience in VR and AR. So we really take all that pressure away from creators like you, instead of having to do all this stuff and, you know, selling and trying to sponsor your show. Just integrate a plugin, go to a platform, you kind of decide, well, I want advertisers that are about this topic or this topic, and then we sell it automatically and we connect it to massive networks of advertisers.
That's awesome.
Are you able to, you guys probably aren't able to track dimensionality, reduce content from content that's directly inside of AR and VR, are you?
How do you mean exactly?
Well, so for instance, Topher was saying, we had the way that this whole podcast became a thing is we sold the first in VR talk show to ever be ordered by a network. And so that's awesome. When we were trying to work with brands and get their stuff in our platforms. And so some of our viewership wasn't actually in VR.
Right.
We had a camera person following us around inside of the VR show, and then sending those same signals out to YouTube and Twitch, and you know where else the video goes out to.
Sure.
But those views, those streams would also see the platforms or see the advertising inside of our show.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
There's no way to count that, is there?
Oh yeah, you really can't track the views and stuff like that and the impressions if it's a restream type of thing, huh?
I see what you mean. Yeah, not really at this stage, but you know, esport obviously is something massive. We want to bring solutions for the viewers as well. But at the moment, it's really focused about who is enjoying the experience at this stage, and so it's who is wearing the headset basically.
Okay,
right on. So, what type of are you allowed to say like what brands have like jumped onto your platform yet and are like actively advertising or those NDA'd or?
I'm very curious to
see like who is like, is McDonald's actually spending like $1 million to advertise in VR? Because if they are, that means that's huge for developers and creators. You know?
Yeah, no, I can definitely mention a few of the brands. We've created case study with them. It's all available on our website. One of them was National Geographic. We have Uber as well, State Farm, just to show three completely different brands, right? Entertainment, on-demand app, and then insurance app. So yeah, it's really exciting to see that brands from different verticals are actually jumping And some of them had, you know, one campaign, and some of them actually use it as a recurring medium, just like they keep spending on social or on mobile. They keep spending in VR as well. Because what's really exciting, it's not the fact that it's only VR and that it's a new channel, but it's that it actually delivers better performance for the advertisers as well, because it's immersive. You know, you see it's massive videos. It's right in front of you. It's not like you're scrolling on an article and you have this video that is trying to annoy you. It's, it's a completely different experience. It's completely new. And so people react to it in very different ways, which generates longer engagements, better dwell time, more gaze. You know, we can track how long people are looking at things. So it's a lot of data, anonymous, of course, that is very, very interesting for the advertisers.
Interesting. Can you use any of the data to like maybe retarget ads as well? Or are you able to do like geofencing to like, if we wanted to promote like the VR meetup in Seattle in, I don't know, alt space or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, could we target that to people that are just in the Pacific Northwest and just show them and like not show the rest and like, you know, save our ad spend or whatever? Or is it more for like a corporate sponsor that has like the big bucks to spend and they can kind of shotgun?
You can totally do both, because it's programmatic and it's media that is actually bought from existing demand side platforms, right? We connect to all kinds of partners. They have all these targeting options on their end. And so, of course, they can say, you know, we only want to target the US market or even smaller, right? We have some level to target IPs to know in which area they are based.
Okay.
Now, in terms of personal information, at the moment, we are very, very, our capabilities there are limited. We are not, you know, willing to understand who is the person, what are the interests too much, because we think that in VR, contextual targeting is actually going to be a lot more interesting than personal targeting. And contextual targeting is, what is the app about, right? If you think about a website, you know, every website is kind of like another website. So, you know, it's harder to target contextually. But in VR, if you're in a world that looks like, you know, a stadium, because you want to meet with people who are talking about basketball, then we can already pretty much know that everyone in the space is going to be interested in sports, and we can target based on that without knowing anything about the person itself. So this is kind of our approach, which is slightly different from, you know, trying to really identify people. For us, it's more about understanding the content that the app is and advertising in relation to that.
Interesting. Have you had any, like, I guess, I don't want to say, I guess the word I'm looking for is kind of like pushback from creators that think advertising is souring the VR experience. Like, they don't like it. They're like, get this crap out of here. We don't need this here. Like, because you see that one VR video that came out that was, it wasn't a VR video, but it was like a, like a hyper reality of like Japan or Korea or something like that. And you just walk around and there's just everything's everywhere going nuts. And people probably worry about that. Like, that's going to become our future. And, you know, I could see a lot of people seeing your company and being like, oh, there's the gateway. That's what's going to happen.
We have some pushback, mostly from people who actually don't really look into our solution, because obviously our goal is not to put ads, you know, everywhere. This dystopian reality that you mentioned is not something that, you know, will happen, right? Like, people will always have the free will of leaving the app, leaving VR, or not putting their AR glasses if there are ads everywhere. So if we do that, we're going to kill VR and AR, and people won't use it. No one will ever be forced to watch ads. Like, I don't see in which world that's possible. So, you know, it's up to the developer that use our technology to not put too many ads. And we tell them, if you put too many ads, you might have a slight revenue increase in the short term, but no one's going to use your app. So you want to build this for the long term. This is why we're trying to make advertising as subtle and less intrusive as possible. But yeah, we have people that think, you know, VR is this kind of pure creative medium. Advertising would ruin it. But, you know, I like to point that, without advertising, there'll be no TV, there'll be no internet, there'll be no radio. Like, advertising is the backbone business model of every media that you can imagine, because the only thing that people hate more than advertising is actually paying for stuff, and advertising is the only way not to pay for stuff. So you know, it's not a very valid argument in my opinion. We're going to see, just like we've seen a lot of people lot of developers moving from a paid app model to a free app model. You know, in the early days of the App Store, I think we had like 60% paid apps. And eventually they figured out there was another business model with ads. And now it's about 9-10% of paid apps. It's going to be the same for VR. There's always going to be, of course, you know, AAA games. People are happy to pay for this. You're also happy to pay for Netflix. This is super premium content. But most content that you consume daily is not something you want to pay for. It's going to be have to be sponsored another way. And the only way that I know not to pay for stuff is by getting brands to pay for you.
Right. Right. I think it's the kind of the fear of marketers ruin everything.
Right.
You know,
and they do.
If we're going to market VR and stuff, we have to do it in like a responsible way to not like just beat it down to the ground. Because I like the way that you guys are doing it, because you're kind of putting the burden of advertising onto the creator. Like they can pick exactly how much they want to have in there, instead of like, you know, you're signing up for an ad package. You got to show like 15 ads in this one world or whatever, you know.
That's right. And that's exactly where the idea came from. I used to run a mobile game studio. And when you, you know, integrate an ad solution, you either say, okay, I want to put a pre-roll, which is a video that is going to take your entire screen, or a banner at the bottom. You have no flexibility of how the ad experience is going to look like. What we want to do is bring advertising back into the creative process, telling the developer, look, you can control how the ad experience also works. And is actually going to merge with the creative experience, especially if you're talking about 3D products. You know, you can use this to build your experience. Yes, it's paid by it's paid for by a brand, but you might need a bottle in your game, right? Or you might need a watch. You know, everything is sponsored around us. Why would it be any different in VR and AR? And like to your point earlier, right? Marketers do ruin everything. And so we rather do it ourselves in the right way rather than let someone else do it in the wrong way.
So the whole point of virtual reality is immersion. It's for people to put on these headsets, go into a program or a game or an environment and be immersed in that environment. What are you guys doing as far as making sure that the advertising matches the world that these people are in? I mean, you might end up in a low poly world like Rec Room, and then you might have like a super high fidelity advertising ad for McDonald's playing, and it might take them out of the immersion.
Right. It's a great question. Yeah, the two things that really matter to create a native advertising experience is non-intrusiveness. So it's about having ads that are placed within the environment. But the second thing, that's not enough. The second thing is relevance, right? You don't want to see a 3D model of a car on a table or something that wouldn't make any sense. So what we're doing for this is, again, using context. So from our platform, developers can identify the type of content that they're building and the type of ads that they want in that content. They can't really say, I want, you know, McDonald's specifically, but they can say, I want something food related. So it's per categories, right? So we still have some volume coming through.
So that wasn't really my question. Like the content isn't really what matters, but the style for which the advertising comes in as. Are these ads, when they show like a burger, are they also going to be low poly?
So there are different options. This is totally possible. Most of the limitation there is actually on the advertiser side, who doesn't want to show their burger differently than they really are, right? It's like you don't want to change the color of your logo. It's not your logo anymore. So it's the same. Some brands are more open than others, actually. We've actually had some experiences in the futuristic world where we are able to put filters on top of ads so they look like holograms almost.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
And you can do that through Unity, right? So our solution integrates with Unity, a 3D studio, where you can always kind of build your own shaders on top of surfaces. And so our goal here is actually to enable developers to put their own shaders, but also restrict them so that, you know, we don't actually completely change the brand messaging, for example. So it's about building the right kinds of shaders and enabling the right kind of change of style that advertisers are also comfortable with.
So, okay, that's cool.
So how much say does like a creator or a dev have in who gets to advertise on, because I know, like, with Audience Network, like on Facebook, because I do a lot of Facebook ads and stuff, like, you kind of really don't have a say in what gets advertised on your page, you know. So, like, I was looking at the platform, and I, for like the images and the video placeholders and stuff, you guys pretty much just use like a placeholder tag inside Unity, and then that kind of just like gets transferred on.
Right.
But yeah, like with, say there was a soda bottle or a coffee cup or something, that gets placed. Does the advertiser say, I want to insert this 3D asset? Or does the creator say, hey, I have this 3D asset, you can wrap an image on this, or you can, you know, modify this a little bit? Like, where's like the, which end of that is it?
So it's the advertiser, basically. Just like they provide, you know, video files or banner files, they will be soon able to provide 3D files through our own advertising studio. And then on the creator's end, the creator would say, I have a space here, a 3D space, which is basically a cube that I'm willing to fill with products that are food related. And then we basically, you know, the marketplace matches the supply and the demand. The idea that the developer would be able to say, I want a can of Coke here, and literally drag and drop the can of Coke, is actually not something that would work at scale. First, because the advertiser still needs control over where the product appears. So they might not want, you know, any type of app to have Coke within the experience if it's not something relevant. So they still need to be able to check that. And also, it just doesn't work at scale, because we need to be able to broadcast ads, you know, to multiple apps at the same time.
Interesting.
Has there ever been a situation where a developer is making one kind of an experience and it goes against the brand guidelines? Of say they're doing a game where you're shooting a bunch of people in a coffee shop.
Yeah.
And you decide, oh, hey, lovely Starbucks game should be, yeah, this is like 70% of, you know, games right now for VR. They're all shooters. And say you're like, hey, I really want this to take place in a Starbucks.
Yeah.
Has there ever been like Starbucks come over and be like, hey, we're going to have pushback on this. We don't want people getting shot in our restaurants.
Right. Well, of course. Yeah. So luckily we wouldn't allow this kind of thing. So we have processes to verify first the type of game. You know, we very particular about violent games. Obviously, a lot of advertisers do not want to be associated with that. And we have a second check when all the placement have been put together and they want to go live, then we actually have actual people downloading the app, checking it out, and making sure that it's brand safe. Because of course, you know, brand safety is our first concern. So the app would never actually go live with this kind of ads.
Me and Eugene had an interesting idea when we were building the glitched stage. We wanted to see if we could reach out to other games. Mm-hmm. And see if like they wanted to advertise in the studio, in the theater and stuff. And we had the idea of creating like an old school video game box cabinet. And would you guys be able to have like product placement of like mini games in places like that? Or is it just the, you know,
the brands?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, I mean, if again, I love to look at what happened to the mobile industry. And you know, most of the spend on mobile is for other mobile apps, right? It makes perfect sense. But at the moment in VR, most app developers actually don't have much budget to advertise. So the way we're thinking about this is now we're basically bringing money to that ecosystem from the big brands, right? McDonald's and all these guys that have money. We infuse that money in the developer ecosystem, and then they will be ready to promote their own titles as well. And we've actually built a proof of concept of that, which is a portal. So instead of simply have, you know, a banner or video about another game, it's actually a portal, which we call the Oasis, where you can literally walk into it and be transferred into the other game. So, you know, you guys should check it out. We actually built this bridge between High Fidelity, which is a social VR app, and Somnium Space, which is another social VR app. So if you have both apps, you don't need to go back to the Steam menu. You can literally walk from one app to another. And what? That was just a proof of concept. But our goal is to basically build this metaverse, right? Linking different apps together. Because at the moment, there's no way to do that. So every time you have to move from an app to another, you have to take the headset off or just go to the menu. It kind of breaks your immersion.
I love this so much. I love this so much.
And like,
we're getting so much closer to the true metaverse.
And exactly. And that opens massive opportunities for brands as well, right? Since we're talking about that, instead of putting their brands within one app or another, they could actually sponsor the travel in between apps. And therefore, the apps actually, the experience is actually untouched, right? You wouldn't have an advertiser in your app, but just in the transfer between one app and another, which creates a better experience for the users because there's no more ads. So, you know, it's the kind of thing that we're thinking about and how we can really not just put banners in VR, right? That's the first step, but that's not really our ambition. Our ambition is to completely change the way advertising works by leveraging what VR and AR can offer.
That is so interesting, knowing that it's coming from essentially an ad agency rather than, say, Steam.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we really don't have the mentality of, like, you know, just putting banners in VR. We have a lot of creators, you know, as part of the team. We're really taking a developer's first approach. We actually never label ourselves as an advertising company. Again, here on the wall, it's all about empowering developers, celebrating VR success. You know, this is why we're running this community, right? We're not running an advertising community. We're running a developer community. The developers are really leading this revolution. We just want to give them as much money as possible by building the best tools for them to be able to do so.
So this might be kind of a silly question, but how many different systems is your guys' company compatible with? So, like, is it going to be able to work on Magic Leap? Is it going to be able to work on all the Oculus Go's, like every single platform?
Yeah, we're platform agnostic because we are a tool for Unity and for Unreal.
Oh, that makes sense.
Recently. So, you know, when you build a 3D app for Unity, you can build it for any platform that you want, pretty much wrap it and make it native. So we do have, I mean, most of our traffic right now is from Android. You know, have a lot of mobile VR type of apps. Mm-hmm. We do have some Oculus apps, some Steam apps as well. Nothing in Magic Leap yet, but it's just a matter of time.
Right on. Yeah, I actually personally haven't used a Magic Leap yet, but I am super keen to try and very interested to see how that would work out. Like,
they're fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're good. Well, now the HoloLens 2 is
I know. HoloLens 2. That I'm so happy that they fixed the field of view, because I tried a regular HoloLens when I worked up at Microsoft about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I wanted so much to be in love with the tech.
Right.
And then I tried it and was like, I can't see the head of the T-Rex, and I can't see his feet. I only see his chest. Now I can't see his head. Right. Now I can't see his feet. What's going on here? And like, the field of view is just such garbage. And I hate to say that because they work so hard on it. But now that number two is out, is pretty cool.
There's two things, I think. There's that, and for me, the resolution, you know, the screen door effect, right? Always kind of reminds you that you're looking through something. But the Vajo, this new headset that has human-like resolution, just launched as well. So, you know, there's been it's called Vajo, V-A-R-J-O.
It's this company in Helsinki.
That's right. Yeah.
Vajo.
Yeah, it's human-like resolution, 20 times better resolution. It's literally like walking out of a window.
Really?
It's still expensive, but, you know, it's super exciting to see that. And then the field of view of the HoloLens doubling is just definitely going on the right track.
Ooh, that is pretty.
It is very expensive. It's like 6,000 euros.
Holy
$6,000. Yeah, but you know, if you
think more than a freaking HoloLens too.
Right, but you can predict that the cost might, you know, half every 2 years or half every 18 months, and in 5 years we have human-like VR resolutions. I mean, I'm signing up for that.
Right. Yeah. Well, I tried the Pimax when I was at CES two CESs ago, and I was pretty blown away. I could only imagine how much better that's gotten so far.
Yeah.
Man. There's so many VR headsets coming out. It's really hard to keep up with, man.
I'm excited about the Quest. I think this is going to be one of the first one that really has all the pieces, you know, standalone, 6 degrees of freedom, reasonable price, a good ecosystem of apps. I have really high hopes for it. I think this is going to be a pretty awesome headset.
You know, when I saw that it was the same resolution as a regular Oculus, but it has 6 degrees of freedom, no wires.
Right.
The first thing that popped in my head was, have you ever seen Ready Player One?
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know when everybody in the real...
Oasis. Come on.
Yeah. So, anyway. So, you know that scene where everybody's in Mount Doom taking on the big bad at the end of the movie? And then it cuts to everybody in the real world just, like, in the streets punching and fighting, like, on sidewalks and stuff?
Yeah.
That's what I imagine the Quest is going to make people look like.
I was always wondering in that scene, like, how are people running around with the headset in the streets and not, like, bumping into things?
You know what the answer is? Continuity errors.
Right.
But or yeah, shown bounding boxes when they get too close to something.
True, right. Yeah. Chaperone guides. Right. So, I mean, obviously you're, like, stoked on your platform, rightly so. It's pretty awesome. But, like, what's the most, like... What's the thing that you're, like, giddy and stoked about in VR, AR, MR right now? Like, what's your hot thing that you're like, holy crap, I just can't stop talking about this?
It's actually the Vajra, human-like resolution headset. You know, it's literally 20 times better. It's just, for me, every time I try the headset, like, my first idea of VR, it's like I could be transported in a place and I would believe that I'm there, right? If you try VR today, it's not just there yet. You know, you have the small field of view, you can see it's not like looking through a window. So when I saw that and that it's literally human-like resolution, for me that's really like such an amazing news and super promising for the future.
Nice. Have you seen any of the smell faking, like the artificial smell headset and the attachments? Are you excited about those? Are you excited? Do you think they're there, or do you think it's too limited? Or
I think it's exciting. I just think that this is not really. It's great that people are working on this. I just, you know, my goal is really to see VR becoming a mainstream and AR becoming mainstream, right? And I just don't think that this is really adding too much value at this stage. I think it's like, you know, the haptic stuff, right? This is going to be great. It's going to stay pretty niche, I think, for like AAA games and all that stuff. This is awesome. But this is not what's really needed today to really make VR and AR become the media that we all hope it's going to become. At a high level, what I'm really excited is moving away from two-dimensional screen, right? I talk a lot about that. And what VR and AR means really is that for the first time, we're going to move away from 2D and we're going to step into a 3D world. Just like the internet was the breaking point between offline and online, this is going to be the breaking point between 2D and 3D. Like, why, you know, the world is in 3D around us. Why are we projecting everything in 2D? Why are we always working in 2D? Doesn't make sense. So, you know, that's super exciting. And that's, for me, this is why it's so mind-blowing that this is all happening. And I feel super privileged to be able to work in the field, you know, today where it's all happening.
Yeah, it's kind of like, why would you sit at a desk when you can Minority Report everything, you know?
Right. I mean, I'm not saying, again, like, you know, that this is going to replace the computers. Obviously not. Just like, you know, we still listen to radio. It's not going away. But I believe that two-dimensional screens are not going to be the ultimate interface anymore. And we'll still use them a lot. But there will be ways to do things more intuitively in the 3D world.
I'm interested. I was thinking the other day, I was like, it'd be really cool to be able to have like a headset or like an MR or an AR headset, like a Magic Leap or something, but you were still sitting at your desk. So you could still, like, you know, use your keyboard, use your mouse, everything. But instead you get like six screens surrounding your monitor that you can then be like, oh yeah, bring this over here. And you just grab it, throw it down to the main screen, then work on it and do this. And, you know, if I'm done with this video, throw it up there and let it go upload and then work on Photoshop here and then actually do my work on the screen. That would be...
I think that's Spatial. There's a startup recently that raised, I think, $8 million. They just came out of stealth. They call Spatial. And this is what they're doing. They want to be the productivity app for HoloLens. And so it's all about, like, virtual post-it notes, you know, collaborating with other people. So you can still have your screen. Your friend's screen is there. You can see him as a hologram. And the demo that they share looks really, really slick. Actually, this is something I was also pretty excited about because I'm very excited to see applications of VR, AR, MR in the non-gaming space, and I think we need a lot more of that. And you know, anything that is productivity based is going to be adopted quickly, because
for sure
what human likes is saving time. Basically, that's what every single innovation that caught on is about, saving time, right? Uber is about going quicker from A to B. Delivery apps is about getting your food quicker. So if you can put a headset and it actually saves you time, that's what, you know, that's when we're going to start to properly adopt it.
Yeah, we're going to see mass adoption when people like realize, oh, this isn't just a gimmick for playing games.
Exactly. There's value to it. It's like, it's helping me on a daily basis. Yeah, it's about finding the right value proposition for it. And I think productivity app is going to be one of them.
Yeah, I'm looking at a Spatial right now. I'm actually watching the video. It's everything I ever dreamed of.
Right, there you go. It's there.
It's really, really cool.
I mean, they have a lot to work with. This sort of productivity app isn't anything new. I've seen probably 6 different companies working on something similar that have all gone under since the birth of this new wave of virtual reality, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's not enough users for them to generate revenue, right? So it's about raising lots of money and building the best interface and relying on the growth of the market.
Yeah, that's kind of the crappy thing about the VR AR industry is it's really hard to get steam going gain steam with a project, because your user base is so small, because one, the price point to use it is high. You have a very specific group of people, like, you know, techie people that have an idea of how to use it. So I think
that's why, you know, 80% of our traffic is all mobile VR, and a lot of pretty big publishers actually not even thinking of leaving mobile VR yet. You know, we have our top publisher that is just looking at other platforms, and they see the numbers and it's going well, but it's just small compared to mobile. So I think starting on the mobile and, you know, creating this simple experience, educating people about it is a smart way to start.
Doesn't that mean like the same impressions would be a little bit cheaper then in newer platforms? And then as it grows, you know, the CPM would definitely rise with it. Right.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm talking about the developers who do not want to invest into building an Oculus app because the number of users they can get is just not meaningful compared to what they get on the Play Store. For advertisers, of course, they're interested to target any platform that has some volume.
Interesting. Okay.
So what type of games are you guys seeing most widely adopted? Because I said you said 80% of your traffic on AdMix is mobile VR. Is that when you say mobile VR? Is that mobile VR as in like strapping the VR film to your head and using a headset, or is that like AR games as well? Like a Walking Dead game has like one of the props in the thing has like, you know, some advertising.
No, it's mostly VR. So it's VR on the Google Daydream or the Samsung Gear or even Cardboard, right? Simple applications that are more not like super advanced gameplay, but it's more of an experience. So you just see what happens. You're flying over a city, for example, or you're doing a roller coaster, or you're going underwater. These kind of apps, like short experience type of apps, that are working really well. Some of them have literally millions of users. That's where the traffic is at the moment.
Or maybe if you were running through like Pac-Man's haunted house or something like that.
Yeah, that, or like driving, you know, driving simulations. You're in a city. There are billboards in the city. It just makes perfect sense.
Right on. Me and Eugene have been working on some short films. Eugene produced a killer the first level of Super Mario in VR, which was really, really rad. Awesome. But we had to take it down and demonetize it because we didn't want to get slapped by Nintendo.
Right.
But we have another one right now.
Like Dario. Yeah.
Right. We have another one right now. It's currently rendering behind me on another computer that you can't hear because my microphone is not picking it up, but it's going. We got Pac-Man's Haunted House rendering right now, which will hopefully be done in like, I don't know, a month.
That's awesome.
We need a render node. So if anyone's listening to the podcast that wants to donate us some render farm time, hit me up.
Yeah, come on, guys.
let's see. So, man, I kind of shotgun all my questions at you because I was so curious about the platform because, you know, all the stuff that we're doing, it kind of went hand in hand.
So you guys are in London, right? That's where you guys are, like, your home base?
Yeah, yeah. The HQ is in London. We do have a team, the growth team that manages our community is based out of San Francisco.
How do you feel the ecosystem as far as XR is going between over there in Europe and over here in the States?
Yeah, there's a lot of exciting stuff in the state. Of course, this is where, you know, most of the VR AR successes are coming from. But actually, the UK is positioned pretty well as well. There's the government is very excited about VR and AR. They're investing in it. One of the reasons we're based here is because we're also next to advertising agencies, which is pretty. London is the center of Europe for this, so it's pretty strategic point for us to be. The two other areas we'll expand later this year are San Francisco for the developer side and New York as well for the advertiser side.
That's cool. Yeah, that's a prime location to be able to setting up meetings and making partnerships and stuff like that. So
that's right. Yeah, there's good talent here as well. It's a pretty central place.
So can you walk us through one of your better use cases as far as what the product was, what the advertiser was, and what the CPM for that developer has been?
Yeah, sure. So an example as well was the National Geographic campaign. So they were looking to reach users to promote their new show called Mars Season 2. And so they did these massive campaigns across all kinds of channels. And on top of that, they wanted to find new ways, engaging ways to reach people that were part of the demographics they were looking for. So it was US between a certain age group. And so, you know, we got introduced to them. They run a campaign where they placed their ads in about 10 different games. Some of the games were... one of them was kind of an exploration game called Jurassic VR. So, you go and see dinosaurs and stuff like that. There was another thing where you would visit another planet. So it makes perfect sense for them to advertise there.
Right.
And so basically the idea is like while you wait in the lobby or while you walk on the street or, you know, when you're inside the spaceship, you can have banners of the video actually playing on screens. So just like, you know, you enter the spaceship, you have this kind of broadcast screen, and you'd have a video, very short trailer for the National Geographic experience. In terms of the CPM and the results, so I think they managed to reach close to 200,000 users in VR in the specific location they were targeting. And because the medium is new, because it delivers great results, great completion rate, like, people are just watching the video because it's in VR and it's just super exciting. CPMs are actually 5 to 6 times higher than on the web. So we're talking about a range like $30 to $35 CPM. If you're talking about a website, if you hit 5, it's already a miracle. The economics work really, really well. And this is why the developers really like working with us.
Nice. And how long was that promotion going for? Like,
It was a couple of weeks. So it was literally 3 weeks, I think, this one.
That's really good. Wow.
Yeah. So we get, long campaigns and also like very short sprints where we need to hit certain numbers. Super exciting. I mean, the number of ad requests that we sent, since our launch in the summer has increased by a factor of 50, which is not only because we are more apps on the platform, but also because these apps are growing. And that's, for me, that's the most exciting part, is to show that the whole market is growing and more people are excited about this type of apps, and creators keep creating. That's really our motto. And, that's what we want to do.
Interesting.
Excellent.
Because I see in the app store, on the iOS app store, you see all these garbage apps that are clones, say a clone's a Flappy Bird. Right. Are you guys worried that you're going to get kind of ripoffs of popular games with the sole intention of just throwing ads in there and reaping the ad revenue based on someone else's concept? Or do you guys have limitations set up for that? Or,
yeah, I mean, we obviously if there's a copyright issue, as soon as we would be notified, we would take the app down. This is really what we're worried about is mostly brand safety. So we have a lot of processes around that. At the moment, we didn't have any process around someone that copied an app in terms of copying the content and running ads towards it.
Well, but, I mean, not exactly just like copying it like verbatim, but like taking like, I mean, you've seen it where like people have taken like the concept of like a Flappy Bird, but like tweaked it ever so much that it is game, but it's like the same idea. But like, they take all the creative process out of it because so they can bang out the game in like 2 weeks and then stick it on the App Store and then start reaping the ad revenue because they piggyback on the Flappy Bird keywords and all that stuff. You know, makes me wonder.
Yeah. No, it's not something we've encountered yet. Okay. Again, you know, if there is too many ads in the scene, as native as our ads are, it's still going to be a terrible experience and people are not going to use it. So we are really telling people, you can do that if you want. We won't stop you, but know that your app is going to be dead in a week.
Good.
You know, the goal is really to be
relevant. Yeah. Like the immersiveness is really going to dictate the success of the app in itself rather than just like it being a 2D screen. With it being 3D and in VR, like it's a lot harder to get away with that type of like forcing advertising on you to try and get, you know, those 1,000 ads shown every day or whatever it is, like, you know.
Well, that's also the idea why ads that work better, that perform better for the advertiser is actually really important, because advertisers don't like spam either, right? They don't want to target people who do not buy their products. The only reason they're doing that is because they have limited targeting and because their ads are not effective. So they need to just spray and pray. If you think about an ad that is 5 times more expensive, but that performs 10 times better in terms of engagement and retention, that means that the advertiser can put 10 times less ads out there, right? Because they have actually targeted the right person that is 10 times more likely to buy. So they will use less ads. And at the end of the day, the better the ads perform, the less ads they will be. So, you know, this is what we are really trying to improve. It's very important that the ads work for the advertisers as well. Otherwise, they will have to keep spamming.
Okay.
Fair enough.
I have just one last question because we are running up on time here. Is there going to be any interactivity based in like the image and video ads? So like you can lead someone through like hey, if you want to get more information, put in your email, or, you know, do you want to get a notification on Steam about like this thing or whatever? Like some sort of like you can gain like leads somehow in that to advertise to people or have them do a survey or like.
Mm-hmm.
Get this free model.
I really want to see the day where somebody's, you know, stops to playing Blade Runner to like fill out a form inside of the game. Yeah, here's my email.
who knows, man? If the offer is good enough, you never know. Like, you want a free game. Like, you could be like, people That's could right. do like, you know, try out our game. First 500 people that claim get the game, and then you just gotta hit like a button and then input your Steam name or something like that. Is that something you guys are working on, or?
Yeah, man. I mean, this is literally what we talk about all day. Like, how do you bring this kind of call to action, right, to the ad? Again, deliver value for the advertiser, but also for the publisher. We're experimenting on some ways where you can click on the ad, but of course, we will never take you out or open a browser. Right. Like, this is terrible. But you know, if you have an ad that is a banner on a wall and you click on it, the website could appear within this container, for example, right? So it doesn't take you out of the experience. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to look at it, you can look away. And this, for me, kind of makes sense, right? The first couple of years after mobile, when you used to click on a link on the mobile, you had the desktop website that opened on your mobile. So it was like this kind of like really squeezed website. You couldn't read it. So we can imagine that in the future, you know, brands are going to develop VR-ready type of websites where because they know that it's as part of another experience, you don't want to put so much information, but you can have like 3 or 4 things that really matter and that kind of engage the user. So this is the kind of thing that we are starting to think of. It's still like super early in terms of actually taking action in the ad unit. For me, the Oasis, this idea that you can go, you know, try another app like a playable ad, but in VR. Or actually download the app in the background while you're traveling towards it. That's the kind of thing that really excites me more than, you know, getting the user to a website, because website is 2D. It's an old tech.
Yeah.
We have to leverage VR at every level.
For sure. I'm
waiting for somebody to use your platform inside of Unity to basically create like a casino.
Yeah. Right.
And then like, because when you walk into a casino, every one of the machines have some sort of either brand
Right.
or like call to action from like an old TV show or something like
Yeah.
that. So it's like play the McDonald's, blackjack, get four in a row, hit that
Right.
slot machine.
Right.
So yeah, so
We actually did a pilot project for a casino brand. We had the website, the video on the website until a while back, and it was pretty much what you said. It was all kinds of screen animations. The seats were branded. It was pretty intense, but it was also pretty native.
Yeah,
It
because I
was
mean that's kind
maximum
of the way
ads.
casinos are, you know? Like
Yeah, right.
it's
It
just
just it's
lights and
just
flashing and everything. Like it's
right.
made to advertise to you.
Yeah. It's like, Times Square without the ads, right? Like if you make a model of New York, you kind of have to put ads. It just makes it more unique, more relevant. So yeah, these are really what we're trying to find. It's like it's not again, it's not about putting ads in every app, but it's about finding apps that where ads make perfect sense and really, trying to make it as native and as good as an experience as possible.
I wonder what like the
Well,
legalities are around like say I went to Times Square and I did like this really cool 360 video or whatever, but then I went in post and I cut out all the screens and then I replaced them with whatever I wanted and then I sold that. Like, are there legalities around like replacing the screen on someone's building that owns that actual piece of advertising and then having that on the Steam store doing ad revenue with placeholders of not who it actually spent the millions of dollars to be on that massive screen, but it's just me replacing it myself. And it seems like there could be some like weird middle ground
I think
there.
we should put that ask that question to the audience.
So actually, Topher, the company who runs a lot of that advertising, manages that advertising, is Pixelfire.
I know, yeah. We have a studio here in town that does a ton of the billboard type stuff.
Nice, right?
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. We talk to a lot of those guys, right? Because they're doing out of home advertising, and we're doing out of home advertising in a virtual world. So there's a lot of similarities with, the billboard that is on the bus stop and the billboard that you're putting in a virtual bus stop. So
Yeah.
it's quite exciting to see these two worlds kind of merging again, and you get the best of both worlds, non-intrusive, but also, the fact that it's online lets you measure a lot of stuff and iterate a lot quicker than with actual outdoor advertising.
So I get a lot of ideas, Eugene will probably tell you. But I just had this fleeting thought of like when we get AR windshields in cars, if you look through the windshield and then it starts tracking billboards.
Right.
Like it can track billboards and street signs and all this stuff around the city, and then like your platform could essentially replace those with ad packages, like if you went with like BMW. I don't know.
Right.
It's really crazy, like the lengths that this could go, because when you can augment the entire world,
For sure. But
like,
I think here we're still thinking of, old advertising, right? Which is the billboard in the streets, and having a digital ad on top of that. For me, that's still like it's like trying to use a computer as a mobile almost. It's like using old technology, trying to make it work like the new one. I think advertising in AR is going to be completely different. There won't be any physical billboards. It's going to be more about, notification, helping you find your way or find things that you care about. So it's quite interesting to see this difference between the two worlds.
Man, this has been a fascinating conversation. Like, I'm so happy we got you on the podcast because I had so many questions about ad mix and just advertising in VR
Yeah,
in
it was awesome.
general. Eugene, do you have anything else you want to ask before we wrap up?
No, I think I'm satisfied.
You're satisfied.
Awesome.
I'm satisfied for right
We
now.
just woke up, had good conversations. I got myself some coffee.
Nice.
Nice. All right on, man. Well, where can the people find you if they want to follow you online and get your massive roundups and Excel sheets and all that fun stuff?
Yeah, so best place would be to join our free Facebook group, which is VR AR Pioneers. If you want to learn more about myself, my website is samhuber.com, and of course the website for AdMix, if you are a developer and interested to find ways to monetize your content, is admix.in.
Right on, right on.
Perfect.
Eugene, where can the people find you?
You can find me, just Google Cap and Design. But if you want to support the show, go to chamber01.bigcartel.com and buy some of our lovely cyberpunk merch.
Yes, do that. You can find me online generally at toe_fur or toe__fur on Instagram. Or just Google Toe for Welsh. So
hopefully all that is changing soon to just VR Nation.
You know what? Eugene's been getting on my ass.
What's VR
about,
Nation?
Like, huh?
No, you seem to release some exciting news. Tell us more.
Oh, no, no. He's been getting on my ass about, like, changing my handle names and everything.
Oh, right.
They're all over the place, man. I'm VR Nation. I'm Toe for Welsh. I'm toe_fur. I'm just like, there's all so many underscores. It's just so inconsistent. I just can't find anything that I like, you know? Right on. Well, we're going to wrap this one up. Thanks so much again for being on the show, man. I really appreciate it. It's
great.
Incredibly insightful. But we'll see you guys the next time. Stay glitched.
Thanks, guys.
Stay glitched.
See you soon.